Thing tonight is going to have a regular participation meeting. We have about, I guess, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. So that gives each one of us, we got about 30 guys here. So that gives each one of us 3 to 5 minutes to come up and share a little bit. And what I'd like to do is try to keep the meeting kind of focused as to what we were talking about all day long, as far as alcoholism, ego, self, as far as the 12 steps, an application of the 12 steps, how we put them in our lives, or maybe something new that was presented to you, you know, this afternoon or last night that maybe you never heard before, or something you said, hey, that's a great idea, I'd like to try that, or anything along that line. Like I said, we got about 3 to 5 minutes, and I'm just going to call on people, and when I feel like talking, I will. I think we'll start with Jeff.
I didn't hear anybody yell bingo.
Well, my name is Jeff Atkinson. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And it's good to be here, and thanks for coming up and sharing, Bob. It's always a real treat. What I heard today and what's real important to me is that this program is a thing that is designed for daily living, and what I'm willing to do in the day that I'm in, I'm able to reap the benefits from, and that's a full life. And you know, when I'm not willing to do that, I don't get the fullness in life that the program promises me. And I've lived most of my life waiting for it to happen, and you know, I look back and it's never happened because I've never quite known what it is. And you know, what I see today is right now is it. And if I'm not packing the fullest into this life today, then you know, there's just so much out there for me. And as long as I'm willing to go after it, and I mean, I with the direction of this power, this God that I've found through the 12 steps, you know, I look back with a certain amount of sadness that this program's always been there for me, But I've wanted to just kind of wait and see what path I'm supposed to be going down, rather than just take that risk and get out there and give it my best shot. And today I saw that one more time, and that I can have it, that I can have everything that's wonderful in this life, and I'm not destined to a dull life. It can be exciting, and Bob's a good example of that. You know, but we all are. You know, if we're out there and we see the guys, a lot of us hang together, and we see us on the mark, man, and we're shaken. And you know, I think that's what it's about. You know, just getting as much out of it as we can. Again, it's good to be here, and God, I hate to leave things off. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Mike, I know you want to go second, so go ahead. Come on up. No, this mic, right here.
Hi, my name's Mike Pina. I'm a grateful alcoholic. What I learned in this meeting is something that in a process that a gentleman gave me, you know, a Chuck gave me a process, and it encompasses all the 12 steps and applications of trying to apply it in my life. And that process, which helps me, and I see it working in people's lives like Bob's and a lot of other you people, is what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. And what you do is what you keep. And what you keep is what you stays in your heart. What's in your heart is what you hear. And that whole process goes over and over and over. And as long as I fight in my life, I encompass all those 12 steps and trying to get rid of that frustration in my life, that void of, you know, not being there and whatnot. And what I hear is in these rooms, what I heard today, you know, readings, a form of hearing. And all I could gather on my alcoholism and my disease of self and everything else is all a form of hearing. So everything I hear from you people and reading and everything else is what I hear. And what I hear, I get a vision. And once I get that vision, I get a picture in my mind of what's going on. And once I see what's going on, that picture is there, it leads me into, you know, starting to speak it and to say it, start to practice it in my life. And once I start to practice it, say it, and speak it, I get to do it. And once I do it, that's where it all lies. And then I start to feel good about myself. I start to feel good about a lot of things in my life. Even though the world sometimes is going in another direction, I still feel good, you know. And that's applying these 12 steps in my life. And once I do it, I get to keep it. You know, there's no cliche around these rooms that you might have heard. You know, if you do it three times, you get to keep it, it's yours. You know, I get bits and pieces from all different forms of life, you know. And once I get to keep it, you know, it stays in my heart. And so when I get up and speak or anything I say, you know, that process starts again. It comes from my heart. And so, you know, and it goes on and on. And, you know, that just validates, you know, that process that was given to me early on by Chuck, you know. And, you know, so I'll keep coming back, you know, because I need places like this. You know, I need people like you so that, you know, I don't have to go back to that crazy life, you know. Nobody likes it there to be lonely and frustrated and everything else, because that's something that's with me and always is going to be with me. But unless I apply that process and encompass the 12 steps of this way of living, I will go back. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Richard, and I'm an alcoholic. I find myself sitting in that chair avoiding a power greater than myself. You know, Ron's eyes. He's darting around the room, selecting his next victim, you know, and look at this guy. He's obviously squirming quite a bit. We'll let him get up there next, you know, so here I am. But, you know, for me, coming up here, you know, Bob, thanks a lot. I appreciate. You know, I've heard a lot of this stuff. I've listened to some of your tapes, and you know, Ron's been talking to me, and Dave's been talking to me, and a lot of other guys about this. And you presented in a somewhat different manner. And I heard a few things today. You know, this thing about the untreated alcoholism and living with that, and being that that person out there, and carrying this package around and bringing this through your day and going one day after the other and it's the same old story all the time, every single day, unless things change, you know. And I have tried like hell to change stuff by myself, you know, and the power wasn't there. You know, and I heard today about the twofold a part of this recovery program, you know, the higher power, the God, and the steps, you know, and how they need to work together, and how that the step two is where, you know, I get to look at the kind of power that I am and going to myself for power all these years. And that's been the whole thing, you know, to go and look at something and say that I can't go to me as the power anymore. You know, it's so habitual, I keep doing it, even though I know I can't do that. I can't not do that. And I still am not too clear on some of that stuff, but I know that, you know, in order for me to have any success, I've got to have a power, you know, greater than me. And I've had a lot of prejudice against religion, and that has really kept me, you know, hung up. A lot of heavy duty prejudice about stuff. So, you know, for me, it's been kind of exciting to be here, and you know, it's a little frightening too, because it's a challenge, and it's simple, but it's not easy. But you know, I've enjoyed this weekend a whole bunch, and again, thanks a lot. And now, obviously, there's going to be another victim. I don't know if you've already been, you figured out who it is yet, but I know.
Hi, my name's Terry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Terry.
And it's been a real good retreat for me, and I want to thank Bob as well. I think the thing that hit me a lot last night when we started talking about getting this thing underway was, you know, why I asked myself the same kind of questions. Well, why am I here? What is it that this alcoholism is? And I think that I understand it better, and I really appreciate the kind of approach that you laid out for me, in the sense of really kind of focusing on how important it is to find out what that alcoholism is in my life. And people just don't tell you that necessarily, and you can't just put it into one sentence. You have to kind of think about it and find it for yourself. And I also think that the way the steps are presented, kind of the first six, learning a little bit about the nature of your alcoholism in yourself, and then the seven through 12, the second set, what you can do about it, it's a real good way for me to kind of think about it. So I think that I come to grips with the same lack of power as other people have mentioned, and I find it very clearly in my life these days, and I look for God and for the 12 steps as a solution, something that I haven't really found on my own, and I certainly have tried to do it on my own for a long time. So thanks.
Surprise, right? Hi, my name's Arthur, and I'm still an alcoholic. I've heard a lot of good stuff so far, you know, and it's been a real good experience for me. And I don't usually share at meetings. I usually just kind of sit on the sidelines, you know. But you guys all been so friendly and calling me mostly by the right name. I go by Albert too, and for me, really, that's where I find my comfort is in the steps and working with another alcoholic. I sponsor a few guys, and that's where our relationship takes off at, is in the steps. It doesn't take off in war stories or any of that kind of stuff. It really, gets going once we get down to the business of getting sober and staying sober. And that's really what it's all about for me. And thanks for letting me share.
Jack, come on up.
Fine. My name's Jack, and I'm an alcoholic. And this is really a treat to have Bob come up here. Saves us a ride down here. I don't know if it's any cheaper, but save a little time that way. And this is the first retreat that Alcoholics Anonymous has had at this facility here. And I see the sister's still a little nervous, but I think everything will work out fine. I wouldn't want to be in that position. I don't know that I've heard anything new here today. These things have been presented to me for a long time, and these things have saved my life. But what I became aware of this weekend is how far away from these principles I've gotten in the last months up to this point. And what I'm starting to see is one of the dangers of these retreats for me is trying to live my life from retreat to retreat. Getting a boost at the retreat and then going out there and trying to use the momentum to carry me through until it peters off and then hopefully hit another retreat. It's a pretty dangerous thing. I've also seen, too, one of my biggest failures in the whole program of Alcoholics Anonymous and all the years I've been in it is a lack of seriousness or any kind of emphasis I place on step 10. I do not want to look at that. I don't want to take that time and that discipline, you know, because I don't know about you guys, but at the end of my day, I've got a lot of things to worry about. And I don't have time. I've got a lot of people to criticize, and I got to be making plans for the next day. I also want to thank one of the guys I sponsor came up with me, and I don't say these things to the guys much, but I learn a lot from these guys, and I know here a few weeks ago or maybe a month or two ago, Steve was talking about, we were talking about the same problem, not being able to maintain this. How do you force yourself into adhering to these principles and going along with it, you know? I buy all of this, I want all of this, and I've had it, and it comes and goes and so forth. How I stay on the track, you know, where's the emphasis? How do I motivate myself? And I can't, you know, and how do I get God to motivate me, you know, and I can't do that either. But, and I said, I sometimes, you know, I always wake up in the morning and I have a prayer, but I don't seem to place a lot in seriousness on it. And he says, well, what I do is when I go to bed at night, in my prayer at night, I always ask God to be there for me in the morning, to have me to think about him in a serious way. And it seemed to be working in his life, so I tried it. It works for me, too. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm really glad to be here. I'm really glad to meet you, Bob. As I mentioned last night, I feel like I kind of know you just through listening to your tapes. And last night when I got here and we came in the room and sat down just before the meeting, a couple times during this retreat, I've had a feeling that sort of come over me. It's I don't know if it's a feeling of gratitude or maybe it's the feeling of the presence or the power or what, but I've felt it a couple times. And it's been a really neat kind of confirmation that there is a power in my life that works. And as Jack said, I've heard the message. I've listened to the tapes and working with Ron and some of the guys around here. It's a message that I never heard in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I spent, you know, 8-plus years around here basically without a drink, but not with a God or the steps, an application of the steps in my life. And through a series of events in my life and circumstances, I just got to a place where I was up against the wall one time, and I went to Ron and asked him for help. And he says, okay, but we're going to do the steps, you know. And so we've started on the steps, and we meet at his house often and go to the same meetings. And he got me reading some pages in the book. And a couple of books. And for a long time around here, I really didn't know what the disease was in my life, you know. And I know today that I have alcoholism in my brain, you know. And I know that's the way I think. And what I believe today is that without God and without the steps, I'm doomed to the same old stuff, you know, because I've proved it to myself time after time after time. I really didn't know that, but I know that today. And I don't know, there's a message here that's really powerful, and one that keeps coming back to me time and time again is the truth for me that you know, there's an ego in me and self that just does not want to give up. It's just there. I have to constantly be on vigil. I have to constantly go to God and ask for help because you know, there's the self in me that just wants to be there in charge and wants to run my life, and it comes up, you know, and it's a constant battle. But I know that there's a God in my life today, and I know that there's a solution for me, and you know, it's in the steps, and it's in God, and so that's my hope, you know, to be able to just keep doing that, and keep working, you know, I see you, and I see the power of God in you, and I see what an application and a belief and a practicing of the steps can be, and that gives me hope and inspiration. And I'm just really glad to got to meet you. Thank you all.
I'm Michael. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Michael.
Bob, thank you very much for coming up. Really, it's been great. You know, I really appreciate you coming up. I learned some things this weekend. One of them is that I think instead of my 12 by 12 collecting dust on the nightstand, I think I'll start reading it a little bit more. I certainly picked up on that. And, you know, this morning, I was sharing this with Don a little earlier outside. This morning when I was saying my prayers, I suddenly got this insight, and it was about, you know, my relationship with my wife and some things that I do, you know, and that I think are, you know, okay, that it's a legitimate thing to do, you know. It's my way of letting her know without being real critical, but letting her know about this little fault she may have. And I realized that, you know, what I'm doing actually is it's just one of these disguised zingers is all it is. You know, I'm just getting one in, a cheap shot. You know, but in my mind it was okay. You know, this was legitimate criticism and everything. So that came out of the blue. So that was during the prayers this morning. So, I got a message there too. You know, what else is true? A lot of times because, you know, and Ron knows this, because we both travel and everything, and a lot of times when I'm out on the road, you know, I get asked to share at a meeting or something like that, and I'm carrying the message, I hope. But I realize that, you know, I'm talking a lot about a higher power in my life and about an application of steps on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm trying to make the AA All-Star team, you know, so that, you know, somebody will pick me. And the bottom line is I realized in listening to, you know, Bob talking about application in our daily lives and everything, I realized just how much I'm dragging my feet. Just, you know, there's a lot of half measures, half stepping going on in my life. And I've got that wake-up call this weekend, too. It doesn't mean I'll necessarily, you know, be 100%, but hopefully whatever percent I am, I'll give all of it to that, you know. And like Bob said, with 40-plus years of sobriety, he knows he can still have even a better life. And the blessings I've already received are just so immense that I have no reason to believe that if I work this program to the best of my ability and keep up at it, my life will continue to get better, too. Thank you all for coming, too. Appreciate it.
Jerry, in the back.
Also an alcoholic.
Well, I've been called a lot of things. That's some of them not quite as nice as that. This has been a... I've certainly enjoyed the fellowship. As many of you know, I've only been in this area just about a year, so I'm still learning you people, and I find if I remember correctly, Bob, you said you came into the program when you were in your early 30s?
31 and a half.
That gave me a big resentment. It took me another 20 or 25 years to find the damn program. Understand? and that to me is one of the blessings of this program, is to see the number of young people that are coming into the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't have to go through the years of the frustration and all the horror stories that us stupid older people go through. Over the same period of time. The program has done a lot, done much for me. Probably foremost and most noticeable is that I've learned to love and to care for people, including my own family. I'm able to communicate with them a little bit better as a result of the understanding that I have with people. I'll have to say, in all honesty, my wife is God's little helper. She's a product of Al-Anon. And she's very, very quick to inform me that Jerry, your self-esteem is slipping today. You know, and I get a little testy. So it's nice that you have that kind of help to keep you on the track. I can say that now. There was a day when I didn't appreciate all that shit, you know? So, it has been a... I really, really got a lot out of your discussion on the isms. As you indicated, it's something you very seldom hear discussed, and I will have to concur with that. That reminded me once again how fragile my sobriety is. I'm one drink away from another drunk. Doesn't make any difference how much time I've got in the program. And that is frightening. That frightens me. So I have an awful lot of respect for my sobriety, and I try my damnedest to take care of it. And with the help of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and my God, it'll all work out that way. Thank you.
Finally, a microphone up to my height. I'm Doug. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, Bob, for coming up. And I've been listening to your tapes for the last 2 or 3 months. And there's one thing to listen to your tapes and to get a lot out of that. But to sit here and hear you and see you talk, I really feel you as a channel. And, you know, I'm plugged into that. And as far as any one application, there's so many. I have 4 pages of notes upstairs. I can hardly get to, hardly wait to get up there and reread those. I'm really grateful for this program. We're grateful my sponsor took a third step tonight, and all week long I had this fear of coming up here, of opening up and exposing myself, I guess is really what it was. And I wasn't with God all week, but right now I really feel the presence of God in my life, and thanks for coming this weekend. It's meant a lot to me. Thank you.
My name is Joe, an alcoholic.
It's good to be here. It really is. You know, I heard Bob's tapes before I met him as well, and then I saw him in San Lorenzo, and I have the tapes from that meeting. And I knew I was in for something special, because it was special in San Lorenzo. When I hear you speak, it's special. And what I had to do and what I have to do is get on my knees and pray to this power that I have in my life and ask him to keep my mind open and my ears open and my eyes open so that I can hear what's being said. Because left to me, I'm not going to hear any of it. So consumed in myself, so worrying about work. I was still working. I was working this morning. And I had to finally stop and pray and say, listen, you know, I'm here right now. And there's this... I don't know if anybody saw it, but there's a sheet in the rooms that, I don't know if it's in every room, I know it's in my room, but it says practice to be here and now. And that's what I had to do today, because left to me, I would be out in left field like you talk about. And I'll share a little bit about this, and you know, it's humbling for me to share this. I was down moved down to Redondo Beach, and Bob talked about this today, about using the head knowledge, the stuff that you store up and trying to carry that with you. And it can't be done, because I tried to do that down in Redondo, and I had a lot of information up here. And I went through the steps like Bob presented today with Colby, and I have a power in my life, and I tried to hold on to that stuff. And after about 2.5 months, I started getting really squirrely and restless, irritable, and discontent, and I was trying to handle it all. And I get a buddy, Donnie, who was always grilling me, you got a new sponsor. And I was afraid to go for a new sponsor, because something I had up here was so special. And I was afraid to change and afraid to go for something else. So God put it in my life. I heard this man take a cake, and he talked about pages 60 to 63. He talked about being the same man sober as he is drunk, and about being willing to change. And that was a presentation to me that I had to do something about that. So I took that step and I went for it. And I'm starting to work with this man again. And I go through the steps again and go through another process. And I can only imagine it's going to be just as incredible. And you know, I am probably the youngest person here, and I know that for me, if Bob talks about going for something greater and more, and for me, the way, only way that I can go greater and higher in life is through 12 steps in God, and you know, I have an incredible life that I can come up here and see my friends. I know a lot of people in this room. And, you know, I got my buddies here, and I got buddies down there, and we're going to go to Tahoe tomorrow, and I get to experience that. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful when I stop and pray with God and see it all. Because with me, I'll screw it all up. Thanks. Steve.
My name is Steve Williams, and I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank Bob for coming up and sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. I've been listening to your tapes, too, from San Lorenzo. Excuse me, my sponsor only gave me 1, 2, and 3, though. So I really liked the way you presented the rest of the steps. I got a lot out of it last night. I really caught myself praying through the whole thing to stay focused on what you were saying, because for some reason it's real important to me today. It was real important to me yesterday. When we came by last night, when we got here, we passed by the retreat here on the way to get something to eat. And I felt the presence of God here. And I wanted to get back here. This is my first retreat. I'm nervous. But I've learned, I haven't learned a lot. How you put it, I'm aware of a lot more today than I was yesterday. And I thank you for that. You've been sober longer than I've been alive. You know, and I hope someday somebody can say that to me. I had a gentleman, I have a men's meeting on Tuesday night, and he had 87 days, and I was envious of him. Because I remember how I felt when I had 87 days. And I don't feel like that today. And the reason I don't feel like that today is because I'm not in my steps. I'm having trouble at home, but I know that if I turn it over to God, and I know there is a God, because I shouldn't be standing here today. I should have been dead 4 years ago. It'll be all right. Thanks. That's one Steve Williams, the other Steve Williams.
There we go.
My twin over there.
Yeah. Can't win them all. Yeah. I'm Steve. I'm an alcoholic. I heard so much. I would say the most important things I've heard is the way Bob presented, and I've heard it on his tape too. But steps 1, 2, and 3 again, you know, and I know my sponsor's taken me back to the steps so many times, and I'm always frustrated when I have to back up, but I know that that's where I have to be, and that's it's always hard for the ego. I'm sure some of you guys have felt that before, but I know that I fight with that ego a lot, and hearing you talk about the ism, you know, and a lot of the confusions I still have with a lot of the way that words describe stuff, and how you were saying today how a word can take so many different kinds of meanings or definitions in explaining the way, like we should have our own dictionary. I like that idea. That was great. And I would say that the emphasis you put on like step 6 and the difference between defects and shortcomings. I know when I first got here, defects and shortcomings meant the same thing. That's what I heard a lot. I don't know why, but it kind of made me giggle inside, you know, when you said that. It was very true. And I know today that those are, as you explained, is the way it was explained to me. And it made sense to me, you know, that the shortcomings were the things we weren't doing and we needed to walk. And that was important stuff for me to find out. That's exactly what you were explaining with that. And I really thank you for coming up here. It's nice to see your face. I was telling somebody today, listening to your tape, I actually thought you were 40 or 50 years old.
Just your voice is so clear. You sounded a lot younger. And that, not that you're older. It's just that was interesting. I was kind of, oh, okay.
I'm John. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, like a lot of people, Bob, I've never heard your tapes before. I've heard this message come through a lot of people that you've worked with. And, I reflect back on a lot of the meetings that I've shared. On a lot of the meetings that I've shared at as I was, you know, coming up through AA, and how I'd sit there, and something inside of me told me that that there was something missing. There really was something missing, and I wasn't hearing this message. It's a constant application on a daily basis. And for years, I mean, I'd go on hearing a message. The topics would be fear. The topic would be resentment. The topic would be this or that. But the point is that when I'd go home, I was doing exactly what the examples were that Bob was laying out. You know, I was like a dog going, wanting to go after raw meat in just about every instance. You know. And they had this, when I moved up to Sacramento here, they had this little cliche. I understand it's been around a long time, but it was the phonies eliminate themselves. And that just used to make my skin crawl. You know, I'd sit in a meeting and somebody would say that, and the reference they were making to is a complete abstinence from alcohol. But what I would interpret this as is that me carrying this message, it's not even mine, I don't even have any experience to say this message, And I don't even have, you know, the degree of honesty. I haven't even leveled my pride enough to say that I don't know. I don't know, you know. And I realize, you know, and I'm glad that I was sitting here and I concentrating on you and listening to what you were saying. You know, I know it's going to, you know, take a long time to absorb this. You know, and it is one day at a time process. But I really am glad I'm here. You know, this is the message that I've been waiting for. You know, the examples that you've been giving me are things that have manifested themselves in my life on a daily basis. I've been living in the disease of alcoholism, and I've been carrying a message of Alcoholics Anonymous that has been baloney. You know, and I feel very fortunate to be a part of this. You see, because now maybe I it gives me some hope. You know, and the fact that there's something that can happen in my life today. You know, that where I don't have to act the way that I act anymore, and I don't have to think the things that I think anymore. You see, I didn't know that. Now, I told Ron this story over the phone, you know, and in reference to what I wanted from Alcoholics Anonymous, and there was this fellow by the name of Mel Salmon, and he was in San Jose, and Mel, you know, and what they told me when I was coming up through AA was they told me that stick with the winners, you know, tend to go towards people who have what you want. And things that were happening to Mel was, Mel was point blank honest with guys. And when he would sponsor somebody, he would tell them the truth. But one guy wasn't ready for the truth. And he beat the hell out of Mel, you know, inside of his car. And Mel came back to the meetings with his eyes bulging out and all red. He used to think, Jesus, this guy's got some bad luck, you know. And then I found out that Mel didn't have a job. Mel was driving a broken down car. He was 54 years old, and he was living with his mother. And I kept asking myself, how can this guy possibly be in recovery if these things are happening to him? You know. And then Mel was diagnosed with cancer of the liver. And shortly after that, I didn't have a ride home, and Mel offered me one. You know. And I was sitting across the seat from Mel. And I was looking at him. I was thinking, well, I might as well ask. You know, I'm pretty new in sobriety. And I asked him, why do you think all these things are happening to you? And he told me that it was none of his business. He told me that he had turned his will and his life over to the care of God, and that regardless of what happens, okay, he's here to serve him. He's here to serve God. And I reflected back on that. I was thinking, you know, Jesus, you know, when he gave me that answer, I was thinking, he doesn't have what I want. But, you know, as I reflect back on it, I can see that Mel has everything I want. Because in the face of adversity, what he had is he had the presence of God. You know, he had the presence of God. And that's what I want, regardless of what happens. I want to be able to find that stability that Bob's talking about. Thanks.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, everybody. I'd like to express my appreciation to the guys who put this together and to Mr. Anderson for coming up. I feel like I've been getting a drink of water from a fire hydrant. It's going to take a while to assimilate. What I've heard over the last day and a half is the application by going to the power. What I hadn't put together very well was that I can't do this on my own. See, I thought if I read enough and if I stored up some information and then I could apply it, but I found myself dealing with the same problems over and over, even though I was reading, I was talking to my sponsor, I was writing, but I wasn't doing. And it's because I can't, because I'm stuck with the same brain that got me here. So what I hear you guys telling me is I've got to go to the power that can do that for me. So application in terms of trying to practice the presence of God right now and turn the brainwaves over to Him so that He can do for me, so that He can have me do what He'd have me do. That's really what it comes down to. Thanks.
I'm glad you were here too, Bob. I'm glad I'm here. That's the main thing, is that you kind of gave me a new perspective on the 12x12. I've had it in my possession a lot, and I used to go through it and read a couple of step 3, step 9, step 10, you know, bouncing around in there. And I just use it long enough to get me out of the trouble I was in, you know, get rid of those feelings and those screwed up deals, but I do think the program that I feel will give me a little growth. Thanks a lot.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Whalen, an alcoholic. Yeah. And I'm real grateful. It's been a really neat weekend. It's interesting to be in November to be down there and to hear the difference in, what filters I've got in my brain at that time and in the time today. I notice I've been really working hard this weekend to try to remove any self-filters, you know, the things that are coming in for me, to really rely on this power in my life to show me what I need to see this weekend. I can't take in everything. I don't think it was meant for me to see everything. But I think there's things that God would have unique to me that He needs to use, and He'll present them in the way that I need. And it's been real enjoyable. I'm really appreciative to a lot of people, the people who put this on, to people like you, even to the people like you, the other people that have held on to the strength and the potency of the message of this program. Because it's so easy to take that and water it down with new ideas that have nothing to do with the original message. And it's very, 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 very important to me. The core of it, I think, was what we did last night. And that was what was done by somebody that you worked with, and I'm sure what they did with you when you got here. And so that I began to know why I was here. You know, I had no idea what was wrong with me. And I still need to do this today so that I can still be aware of what's wrong with me. And it's very, very important, you know. And I see other people beginning to get a little glimmer, you know, of that same thing. And that's the thing that and the courage to reach out and admit that we don't know. You know, that's the thing that I'm proud to see that in the individuals reaching out and to ask for that. Because that's how it all begins. That's how it had to begin to me. That's how I met this guy. Because I came in and I lost all pride and was willing to make a jackass out of myself in front of a group of people because I couldn't live with me anymore. And it just in that simple demonstration of that, all the help I could ever ask for was poured out before me. And I was always wondering where it was. You know, but I had never made an application that then presented all the help that I needed in my life. And it's a beautiful message. The other thing that I think particularly, I'm just trying to think of particular focal points, and I think it's the most important thing of many of the things that came through, was a completely different presentation that had been passed on through you about the 6th and 7th. It's very, very unique in that sense, that presentation to that. And yet I think the verification for me was when I tried that in my own life, that no matter what anybody says, that produced results that weren't there before I tried it. And I think the thing that was really important, not that the 6th wasn't somewhat obvious, but the 7th was tremendous in the capacity to open my mind. Is it, it began to unlock things that places I could never go, things that could never be done. And suddenly when I looked at that as a shortcomings being things that I had never been able to do before in my life, And I knew that deep down inside of me. And I began to look at that as a process, that something would release in me. And that one of the things my sponsor asked me to do was to write down on a piece of paper the things that would have to happen in order for me to, you know, to have any shot at being useful in this lifetime. And I put them down, and frankly, just kind of like, no way, no way. And it wasn't long after this process, with just being open to that, that this power and whatever sanity it has began to produce things, evidence of that in my life, so that I would become useful. It amazed me. It absolutely amazed me. So the riddle is not the riddle. You know, it's the damnedest thing in the world. Is that it's not that big of a deal for God. The biggest deal is I won't open myself to that and to realize that something can do a much better job than me. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sean. Sean.
I don't do this much. Stand in front of people and talk, you know, because I don't like it. You know, I hated it since I was this big. And thank you, Bob. I know that that fear causes me to be honest with you, and to tell you that I struggle a lot inside, you know. But the reality is that it's not as bad as it used to be, you know. And working the steps has made it even better for me, you know. It's made me able to come up here and to say something when before I would have been out of here like that, you know. So that's the reality of it today, is that I'm able to listen to somebody like Bob, you know. Instead of having my mind so cluttered that I can't hear anything, you know. I know for me, I got the disease real strong because I have that conversation going on all the time, you know, and it never shuts up. But I'm trying to figure out what that conversation is all about, you know? Because I don't know. I mean, it's like there's three or four voices and they're all going at once and everybody's talking about something different, you know? And I'm always in tomorrow or yesterday, you know? And some lady told me to look at my feet when I'm thinking about tomorrow or thinking about yesterday, just to look at my feet and to tell myself, you know, where I'm at, what I'm doing right now, you know. And that's really helped me, you know. It's little stuff like that and like listening to you share about the steps, you know, and the application form of it that it's done wonders for me, you know, because inside I'm still a kid. You know, and I got this grown-up body, and I'm running around, and I'm not sure what I'm doing. You know, but I got to be honest with you that I'm having a good time for the most part. You know, that it's difficult, and yet without people like my sponsor and you know my buddies, where would I be? You know, jail. Dead, you know, I don't know. I hate to think, you know, that all those people that I thought in high school were going to make it big, you know. A lot of those people I see and they're just stoned out of their minds today. And I can't believe it, you know, that I got a shot at this thing. And I hope to come back here again. And I want to thank you guys. Okay?
Dave?
Thank you. My name is Dave, and I'm an alcoholic.
Dave.
Thanks for coming and sharing with us, Bob. I heard a lot tonight in the last 2 days. A lot of things that I haven't discussed with my sponsor and go back in the book and see, you know, and read it some more. The thing that stuck out of my mind, well, I think what you said today was about living and life being two different things. So I thought it was all one thing. That's something I'm going to have to look at, you know, and talk over with my sponsor. The other one is the method and the power. The method of living and the power that goes along with it. You know, I was like what you were saying earlier, I think it was yesterday, about getting back up into that corner and then asking for help. So like the old ways I used to do things, you know, get me out of this, I'll never do it again. The thing you talked about, our yesterdays being today, that really struck me, because I've become more aware of that last night, you know, and so there's a lot of things I have to work on. A lot of things I thought I heard, but I haven't heard. You know, and that tells me that I'm still teachable and I'm still able to learn. And that's what I think I learned tonight, is that I'm still teachable. And that I should use that power not just when I need it, but in all my affairs, as it says in the 12th step. You know, and thank you for sharing with us. Thank you.
Good. I'm Jerry. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, thanks, Bob, for coming up. I too listen to your tapes quite a bit, and I'm finding out that it's, you know, between my ears is my problem, and I had to find that out, and I know through AA and everything, but God bless my wife too, because I used to hear these people talking about committees in their heads and the tapes. I never identified with that, and because I always had conversations, intelligent conversations. I really thought I did, you know. And I really thought this was normal. And I never had any committees. So one day I went home and I asked my wife, I says, dude, when you have a problem or something or at work, I says, do you have a conversation? Do you have somebody, I mean, do you have a conversation in your head between what you're going to do or what you're not going to do? And she looked at me like I was crazy. You know, she says, no, honey, I don't, you know. And I said, and that was, yeah. And then that was a message for me right there. And Ron, you know, you kept telling me the same thing. And I've been in and out for, I don't know what, going on 7 years now. And I couldn't get the message, you know. It just wouldn't, my brain just wouldn't allow it. I wanted to hear what I wanted to hear, you know. But today, you know, now I can understand what, you know, what is going on in this head, that it's so much powerful than me. I mean, there's a power in the, you know, I hear about the subconscious, and I guess, and I don't even feel that subconscious, and that's scary. And that's the power that I don't even feel it, and it just comes out. But I'm sure, you know, I got a lot out of this meeting and or out of the retreat, and I was scared to death prior to coming. I'd never been to a retreat, and I didn't know what to expect. But I wanted to meet Bob, and because, you know, I was trying to put the tape with the, you know, I listened to you so much, you know, on the tape, and I was trying to put the face, and I've got these, you know, I perceived you know, differently, and anyway, I won't go into that. But you really think, yeah, well, I am, but. Anyway, I've gotten a lot. I feel about 3 feet, you know, higher right now, and I've just did part of my fifth step with Ron, and I feel, you know, I got a ways to go, and you know, I know I can change. So, you know, I can change my character, and that's the important thing I got out, and the willingness. That's all it takes too. So, thank you.
Hi, my name's Mike, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
And thanks for sharing with us. You really got a strong message. You know, it seems like you were telling my story when you were sitting up here, because, man, I've been that nice person, and I turned into that rattlesnake. You know, I've been fighting with myself. I didn't want to come down to the retreat today. I'd never been on one before. I didn't know what to expect, and it was something new. And it's just, you know, the committee, you know, that alcoholism, untreated, going on pretty bad. You know, here I thought I was in sobriety, and I find out it's sobriety, and then you label it on you know, the alcoholism, untreated. You know, that's something I really got to look at, because, man, my head talks to me like crazy. You know, as a result of all that, you know, I treat my family, you know, a little bad, you know, and then I beat myself up over it, and I get into the self-pity, the poor me's, you know, just start playing the violin real bad. And, you know, it's good to hear that, you know, it's untreated alcoholism, because now I can go and I can, you know, find that power that I don't have in my life, because, you know, I had an empty hole in my stomach, you know, before I came up here. And, you know, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but then I find out that I'm not. And, you know, I know I haven't taken a drink for quite a while, but I don't know. It's just, you know, I got to get in touch with the higher power, you know. And I heard there's three ends, jails, institutions, and death, and I come to find there's a fourth, and it's recovery. You know, we're all part of it. But thanks.
This is what it's all about, you know. I'm fortunate enough to have Bob down by me, and I've heard him speak a few times, and I have a lot of men that have been through what he talks about, and I've been given the gift, you know. Lack of power is my dilemma, you know. When I think that I'm running the show, you know, I'm in trouble. And what I've gotten out of this retreat, you know, it's great to be able to come up here with you guys and to hang with a bunch of men that are serious about Alcoholics Anonymous, to change, because this is the solution, you know. We know what the problem is, you know, let's get on with the solution. And, you know, this is a process of awareness. And what I've gotten out of this weekend is that it's not over. And for me, it's comfortable and uncomfortable. And I'm able to be aware of the things, which is untreated alcoholism, you know, and that's what I got out of it. You know, to me, I've been taught right and wrong, and since I've been given the gift of Alcoholics Anonymous to be able to apply God and the 12 steps into my life, I'd be able to live a comfortable life and be aware of the times that I have been with untreated alcoholism. You know, this is a gift that I've been given that, like Joe says, you know, I don't deserve this, you know, and I've got it all in front of me, you know. I got a life beyond my wildest dreams, you know. I got sober in New Jersey and came to California, and now I might transfer to Atlanta, and I can go anywhere I want to go as long as I'm able and willing to go to any length to find the men that will give me a solution to stay sober and to be able to maintain this conscious contact with God, you know, because if I think I'm running the show, you know, my way got me here, and, you know, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I want to thank you guys. Thank you.
My name is Don, and I'm an alcoholic. And I got a whole lot out of this, and I want to thank Bob for being here. You were put where I needed to be at the right time. One more time, it's pointed out to me this retreat. I've been to a lot of retreats in the past, but not in the last few years. I'm from the East Coast originally, and what I heard Bob talking about this weekend is what I used to hear from the old-timers back in Boston. And I hadn't heard it explained the way you've done it since I've been out here. And maybe that's due to my fault not being in the right place at the right time, but I haven't. And the other most important part is, you know, what's happened. What's been going on with me is I've been sober for quite a while, and one more time I've been hitting this brick wall for about 2 years, you know, and I've been running on my own knowledge of what I've learned in this program. And due to other circumstances surrounding me, and without trying to take other people's inventory, some people probably who know me know the group of people I run with, but there's a lot of my peers that have, I don't get, let's see, how can I put it without being sounding like I'm really trying to dog on somebody.
You can't.
They're in a place that I'm in, and I'm following my peers, and I'm not getting what I need from the program. So I've been running on my own self-knowledge for a couple of years now, and what I've learned. And I go to meetings, and I have a God of my understanding, and I'm sure He's the one that's kept me where I'm at and kept me focused on my ism and my sobriety and what I want out of this program that's here for me if I want it. And it's always been here for me. And I have a lot of good friends in this program, and I've been a lot of places in this program, from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I've gotten everything I've ever wanted from this program. But in the past couple of years, I've been hitting that brick wall where I've lost meaning and purpose. You know, and as a result, slowly but surely, my personal life and the people that are in my life, there's been a lot of problems. Okay? Created probably by me, but it doesn't matter to me today because I know what the hell's going on. And what I've heard from the 12 steps, which is what I've needed to hear, is that they're, you know, next to the God of my understanding, is they're the most important thing in my life, and the only thing that's going to direct me in the recovery that I want in here. You know, and that's what I've gotten out of this retreat this weekend. And I want to thank Bill for bringing that to my to light for me, that this retreat was even going on. I thank Mike for getting me in at the last minute. You know, and I've had a lot of people, I know a lot of these guys here, and they're all from the White Flag Men's Group that I belonged to originally for the last 12 and a half years. I drifted away from that because all my peers drifted away. The old-timers left it to the new guys, but the old-timers didn't stay around. And I'm one of them, and I followed in their footsteps, you know. But gradually but surely, I realized that, you know, I can't stay sober on yesterday's sobriety. I can't look to my peers to fix me and not go to meetings and not do things and just stay around talking about it, you know, and not be around and not be participating in the 12 steps on a regular basis. Because I'm running on my own head. You know, I'm self-will run riot. Stark raving sober. Many of you have heard me say that. I've been in that place for about a year and a half now, and I've paid a hell of a price for it, you know, and the answers are right here. But I've been trying to do it on my own, you know, trying to do it on my own, because I think, well, I should be able to do this now. I've been this route twice now, you know. I was sober 8.5 years the first time, and I got into that same place. The only difference was then I didn't have a group and I didn't have friends and I drank eventually. This time I've still got lots of friends. I still participate in the program, but I've been a miserable SOB. You know, and as a result, I'm miserable, then everybody that's near and dear to me gets miserable. And I'm trying to blame it on everybody else, you know. And it's all in here because I'm not happy with me. You know, and going over these steps the way Bob went over them this weekend has just pointed out to me really where my dilemma is. You know, I've been searching for meaning for the past year. Ask me what my life's been about for the past year and a half, 2 years, and what the meaning is, and all I've been doing is just running around trying to take care of people and do things and look good and be a good parent and be a good this and be a good that. And I haven't even stopped to take care of this guy. I forgot what this thing is all about, you know. And for me to get up here and say that has been one of the hardest things for me to do. But, you know, it's only because of my own ego, one more time. You know, the ego gets in there, and I've forgotten how to expose myself to my peers and to the people I know that are near and dear to me who would be more than happy to hear what I got to say. They will listen to me and help me if they could and support me. And I know all that. But, you know, you keep drawing back and you draw back and you get so inside of self, you can't talk. You're afraid to talk. You know, you don't want anybody to know that you're that kind of person. But yet, you know, if they look in your eyes, if they know you well enough, and they know who you are, and they know where you're coming from, they look at that face that Bob was talking about and those eyes and stuff, and they know you're in trouble. You know. And they see me around, they give me a big hug, and they say, it's good to see you. All you guys have done that to me this weekend. You know, and I say, okay, you know, it's here. All you got to do is come and get it. You know, and you got to work those steps one more time. You got to stop running on this. You got to get with God in the 12 steps, and you got to do it if you want to be comfortable with yourself. And that's basically what this has done for me. And I really want to thank you guys for all being here. Thanks.
Mitch. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Mitch. I'm very happy to be here. Finally got to come up here. I'm not going to... I'm not a real good talker, but this power that's here that you guys showed me about, I'm going to give the credit of this weekend through the message through Bob, and I'm going to give that credit to the power. You know, that same power has changed my life and has brought me to an understanding of a power in my life. And it's so big, you know, but it seems to be, it's so small. See, this whole weekend I learned that I have I got a BB brain. I can't, you know, I don't know, I can't get this stuff. It won't go in there. So I'm going to have, you know, Bob was saying it, then I'm going to have to listen to this stuff over and over and over. And, you know, one of the most important things for me this weekend was, you know, I get I don't get away much, especially by myself, with having three children, and it's just a real gift to be able to come and see a men, you know, a room full of men sober, you know, talking about a power, talking about that it's not about a sponsor and it's not about, you know, the steps and those are part of, but it's about the power. And it's just a miracle that, you know, we're not all, you know, we're here talking about this and we're not drunk. We're not whatever we did. I think a couple other things I learned about, it was already mentioned about, but for me, I learned I need to get another 12 and 12 and keep one on me all the time. And you know, I would never have thought that. You know, it's like, okay, if I only know that I need to keep that thing on me and get a little one because it'll fit in your pocket, you know. And they have those small big books you can put in your pocket too. But I learned that. You know, I got to meet Bob. I've listened to his tapes for years also. It's, matter of fact, wherever I go and whatever I do, in my car, I listen to those tapes. I've listened to those tapes, and I've listened to Big Book Seminar tapes for the first couple of years I got sober. And then I started getting the tapes, and Ron started sending them to me, and I started listening to them. And I, you know, and today I got the disease, and I'll listen to those tapes, and I'll do what he says. I'll go out of the room. I'll turn off the car, and I'm right back in it again. You know, that's how powerful this thing is. So all those times I listened, those thousands of times on those tapes, I got a disease, you know, today. I know that I have a disease that's so powerful that it will, it tells me that it's really not a disease. It tells me that it's her fault or the guy in front of me cutting me off the road, you know. I like that one, driving two cars. His and mine. But I'm just eternally grateful to be able to you know, you guys allow me to come here, you know. And as a result of that, the power of my life is Jesus Christ today. And that's me, you know. And that has happened through Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a gift for me. You know, when I got here, someone like Bob had said, do I want to live or do I want to die? And he put me out in both hands and said, here it is. You want to live or you want to die? And I chose to live. And so this is the power that I have in my life today. And I thank you guys for letting me come.
Sure.
Jerry Gavi, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, guys. Bob, it's good to see you again.
It's a lot of good stuff here, you know. It's good to see you too, Joe, and bringing your buddies up here. It's, I've heard today the power of the disease, how powerful it works, you know. It doesn't matter how long we've been here. It's a powerful thing, a very powerful thing, the power of self, the power of ego. But I've also heard there's a solution and there's a power of God that's more stronger than this power of ego and alcoholism, and that's the blessing. You know, that's the message that you have that enlightens me and that I try to carry, you know, into my day and each thing, every affair of my life. And when I do that, I have the feeling I get the truth that each principle is there for me, you know? And I like that. You know, it's it's good stuff. It's a good thing, you know, to be here with a bunch of men, to be playing basketball with a bunch of guys, you know, just doing things like that, to live life, you know, to do a third step with a man, to look at the beauty of the world that's about us today. Because when I'm with self, my world's this big and I can't see shit. You know, it's dark. Bill talks about that. You know, it's dark. And I just, I'm paralyzed. I'm in fear. And I don't have to live that way today. I just have to accept some proposals, you know. I'm powerless. I have a disease. That's all I have to know is I have a disease. I have an injured mind. You know, and I go to a power greater than myself, make a decision, and I do these steps, and I work through them today, this day, this moment in my life. You talk about thanking your God right now at this moment, you know, not at the end of the day. You know, when I first heard that last November at San Lorenzo, I started to do that, you know, and to reap the benefits from that. And you talked about doing things like taking your God to, or not taking him to pour a cup of coffee or to make coffee, you know. Ron explained that to me, like when I'm driving, I'm a professional driver, and you know I know how to drive, so I don't need to take God with me. I do need to take God with me, because if I don't, somebody's going to cut me off, and I'm going to fuck them, let them know who I am, you know. I'm going to run them down. And I don't have to do that today, you know. I don't have to do that today when I have God with me. And I'm not in trouble in my mind then, you know. And there were just so many things that you presented. I like the spiritual axiom, the demonstration, you know. For me, that's... To me,